My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
48 calling us in about 12 minutes. It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Before we get to Sam talking about the Commanders defense, and we also get Sam talking about the private ceremony over the weekend, unveiling a new memorial, if you will, at Northwest Stadium, honoring Blackie Wetzel, and whether that's enough to satisfy the Wetzel family and unlock RFK from Montana Senator Steve Daines. What a dumb sentence. We'll talk to 48 about that coming up in a few. But before that, let's get some other NFL news and notes. We call it this, that, and the other thing. Just a couple of random headlines that maybe don't deserve an entire segment, but that we did want to mention and talk about before we go today. Of course, the show's still got 2 hours in it, so we got plenty of time. Biggest story of the day, probably on a notes, you know, noteworthiness, is the announcement of the first-time nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. There's 167 modern era candidates for the class that included 16 players nominated for the first time. The screening committee will reduce the list of nominees to 50 players next month. The full 50-person selection committee will cut down the list to 25 semifinalists, then 15 finalists for the annual meeting before the Super Bowl that will produce the new class. You must get 80% of votes to get in. Under the Hall of Fame's bylaws, between 3 to 5 players can get in as modern era candidates. From like an accolade standpoint, not a notoriety standpoint, Marshall Yanda is one of the big ones, 2-time All-Pro guard. But there's some much bigger names that are going to be included, including, frankly, a couple of other linemen that I think are probably bigger deals. Travis Frederick, Ryan Khalil, Joe Staley, all nominees. I mean, Frederick and Khalil, two of the best centers of the last generation. Running back-wise, you got Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, Darren Sproles, Demaryius Thomas, who would unfortunately be inducted posthumously if elected. Vernon Davis, former Washington player, as well as obviously D.C. native. He a Terp. He is eligible. DBs include Antoine Bethea, Aqib Talib, and Earl Thomas. If you had told me Aqib Talib was still floating around playing, I would have been like, sure, fine. So you got that. And then there's the quarterbacks, including that Eli Manning fella is eligible. Luke Kuechly, Terrell Suggs also. So there's like a couple of guys that are, I think, locks to potentially get in the first time. I think the most interesting discussion, Anthony, is going to be Eli. Because I think based off of the two Super Bowls, the fact that how they went down, game-winning throws to beat Tom Brady, like, I think he probably deserves to get in. I know that is not a unanimous opinion because his regular season stats are not amazing, his fame certainly outgrow his goodness, if you will. The last name and his personality having a lot to do with that. I think we've seen how funny Eli is post-career with the stuff he's doing with his brother. But I do think, like, my thing with the Hall of Fame is always, like, can you realistically, like, either were you so great that it's undeniable, and or can you write the history of the game without that person? And for Eli, I think he meets the second one. You can't write the history of the NFL without Eli Manning, and he was good enough otherwise that that winds up being the thing that pushes him in for me. But I definitely hope that there's other guys that are more deserving that get in. He is not a first ballot Hall of Famer by any stretch.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, his greatest claim to fame is, you know, beating Brady in the Super Bowl twice. I think that's pretty cool. But I feel like when you just look at, you know, his whole career as a whole, I don't know if it's first ballot worthy. When I think of first ballot worthy, I'm talking about guys that have dominated for long stretches of their career in the NFL. Like, they're no-brainers at this, like, in a sense.
To me, Luke Kuechly, I know his career was only 8 years. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
7 years, seven straight years?
Yeah, he was the best linebacker in football basically his entire career. Yeah. Like, if you're the best linebacker in the NFL for 7 years, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, even if that's your entire career. And for Kuechly, it was. Terrell Suggs, I don't know if he's a first ballot, but that dude is going to wind up being in the Hall of Fame. You know, you're going to have a kicker get in here. Adam Vinatieri is probably the most significant kicker in NFL history.
Yeah.
So he should get in. I don't know about first ballot, though. And then I think you're probably looking at a backlog of other guys. You know, guys who were finalists a year ago include Antonio Gates. He should get in. Holt and Wayne, wide receivers. You know, Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne. Offensive lineman Willie Anderson and Jari Evans. Defensive backs Darren Woodson, Eric Allen, Roddy Harrison. Defensive lineman Jared Allen. Running back Fred Taylor are back on the list. I think of that group, Gates, Holt, Wayne, probably Allen or Anderson are the guys that I'd probably vote for.
Definitely going Gates, man.
Yeah, Gates. I mean, Gates was a monster. All right. So next up, they get the semifinalists or the group down to 50 and then 25 semifinalists. Other things around the NFL. Great moment from Baker Mayfield today. He was asked about Bryce Young, obviously now playing for his former coach, Dave Canales, in Carolina, although benched by his former coach, Dave Canales. Baker, of course, in Tampa, where Canales was the OC last year. And I think Baker has a great perspective on this because he was a guy that was kind of given up on by the team that drafted him. Very different circumstances. Baker had some good years, some really down years. It looked like he was cooked. And then he's able to go ultimately to LA and kind of save his career with Sean in a very brief stretch. And then you get the rest of, you know, what he's done in Tampa. And, you know, by the way, that with, you know, a Carolina stint that didn't go well in between. But Bryce Young benched just a couple games into his second season. And Baker said, you know, hey, that guy, his story is not over. And I think it's really important right now. It's really important right now for Bryce Young to hear that from guys around the league, to be like, hey, I see you. And I'm sure Baker and Bryce know each other a little bit. They're Heisman guys. They've spent some time in that Heisman house. But I really loved hearing that from Baker. And I really hope that at the very least, Bryce Young can carve out some semblance of a career in the NFL, even if he's mostly a backup or he's a spot starter. The chances that with what we've seen so far, he develops into a star seem slim to none. But if he could have a Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, we'll see what happens with the next couple of years of Sam Darnold, right? If Darnold can turn his career around in Minnesota this year, maybe even next year, if they wanted to bring him back and, you know, make sure that J.J. McCarthy's healthy and then trade him somewhere if he is, like, could Sam Darnold have a Geno Smith type arc? I hope that can be the case for Bryce Young, because the start that he had just feels so unfair with how much of a mess Carolina is, and it's going to take good people in his corner. And it seems like Baker Mayfield, amongst many other guys who have said things, including, by the way, outside of the sport, LeBron James saying, hey, keep your head up, young king. Like, it's going to take a lot of that belief from people to ensure that he can have any kind of career moving forward. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Some of the top NFL headlines from around the league here on a Wednesday. Next, though, let's get back local. A slightly delayed edition of Not My Beat. Sam Fortier joins us, not only with some thoughts on the Commanders' defense, but with the latest reporting on the Commanders' attempts to satisfy the Wetzel family and ultimately unlock the ability to build their new stadium at the RFK site.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up later on in the hour, Competition Wednesday, Anthony and I reveal how we did last week on our picks. We'll make new picks for this coming week, three picks against the spread, and whoever has the worst record will spin the wheel of mediocre punishment because it's a weekly bit. And, well, the way things are going so far, one of us might be spinning the wheel a whole lot more than the other, and we didn't want to make the punishment too severe, but it does add up to something worse at the end of the season, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, a slightly delayed edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, he's a star not only of written prose, but of TikTok-length films. Sam Fortier, Commander's Beat Reporter from the Washington Post. Sam, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Because this is a later time slot, I'm curious now what is on the list of mediocre punishments.
There's 100 push-ups. There's loser buys winner lunch. Anthony, what else do you have on that wheel over there that you constructed this afternoon? Anthony did a whole art project, Sam.
So we got an ice bath. We have a costume show.
By the way, is like you don't have to do like a full costume. We're gonna buy like one of those little mustache glasses things for like $5, and you just have to wear that and look like an idiot the entire show.
You got that. We have a fantasy football sub of the winner's choosing.
Yeah, so like I could if he lands on that one, I just sub out one of his players, and there's nothing he can do about it.
And then the last one is somebody has to eat extra hot wings.
Yeah, so like a very, but not like level 10 hot ones, but like a level 6 hot ones kind of bit.
Those are all pretty good punishments, except I feel like the fantasy football one is actually more than a mediocre punishment, and the 100 push-ups is not even a punishment for Craig, because I feel like that's just something he was going to do anyway, and now he just has to do it for work.
No, that's too many. That's 100 is too many. That is far too many push-ups. And it's also a condensed period of time. It's not like you can be lazy with him. It's like, hey, you kind of got to do them like within a half hour. That's a lot of push-ups. Anthony also probably could do more push-ups than me, if we're being honest.
I love push-ups.
He does.
That's true. I just don't know if Anthony's wife/girlfriend/whatever is a fitness influencer. So that's why I was assuming that you would just have done those anyway.
No, I would not be doing 100 push-ups otherwise. In fact, when 100 push-ups wind up for some reason in a workout that I'm doing, I get very angry. Sam, nobody cares about this, but thank you for your interest. And anybody that does care about this, Anthony's going to spin the wheel whenever we're done talking to Sam. So, Sam, let's get down to business, shall we? Do you want to start talking football, or you want to start talking about the work you did and have been doing on the RFK side? Which one would you like to start with?
I will let you pick as the host of your show. You know your audience. What do they want to hear about more?
Probably the football. So let's save the football for last. Let's get the RFK stuff not out of the way. Let's dive into it first, because you've been reporting on this for a long time. And when we last left our heroes and our villains, the Commanders needed to essentially make good with the Wetzel family, who's inspiration for the old logo. And that is according to Montana Senator Steve Daines, who's holding up the RFK bill in the Senate, which they need to obviously pass so they can then see if they actually want to build a stadium at RFK, which we all know they do. What happened this weekend, and how much did it actually move the needle?
Wow, that was a great setup. So basically, the Commanders brought in, they flew to Montana, them and a representative from the NFL, and then they brought the Wetzels to D.C. to unveil a tribute to Blackie Wetzel, who helped design the logo. And basically, they are saying, hey, like, these are the things that you and the senator wanted. We are doing them. What's the upshot here? And I asked Ryan Wetzel, the leader of the family, does this satisfy your demand? And he said, it's a great step in the right direction. And I said, okay, well, what will satisfy your demands? And he said, I don't want to explain that, basically. So we are now at a point where the clock is ticking on this congressional session. The RFK bill has to pass by the end of the year for D.C. to be in play. And as I asked Josh Harris at the preseason press conference, will he commit, if this doesn't work out, to making another effort for D.C.? And he did not do that. So I don't think it is hyperbole to say that if you are a Commanders fan and you want the team to go back to RFK, this bill needs to pass. And so basically now we are in a situation where either the Montana senator is going to be able to kill this bill, or the Commanders and their allies on Capitol Hill are going to be able to pass this bill. And so that, I think, is the showdown that we are heading toward. And there could be a committee hearing as soon as next week.
So the quote that you just referenced, where you asked Ryan Wetzel, well, okay, what is it that would close the rest of the gap? And he's like, well, I don't want to say it out loud. It's one thing to not tell a reporter. It's another thing if the team doesn't know. Do you think the team has an idea of what it would take? And I guess in answering that, Sam, do you think Ryan Wetzel has an idea of what it would take?
No. He has not defined it for the team, as far as I understand. And basically, my understanding is that the senator the senator and the family work very closely together, the senator wants the logo to be back on the field. And when the Commanders, two people from the Commanders and a representative from the NFL, flew to Montana last week to meet with the Wetzels at Ryan's home in Western Montana, they said, look, like Jason Wright told me, the quote was, we helped them understand the business realities and how other people see this logo. And so we are going to try to thread the needle to do everything for the family. But they basically said, we cannot bring this logo back. We need to do something else.
Right. And you also reference in the story that even within the Wetzel family, there is some disagreement. Ryan is now kind of representing, and he is the one that's working with Steve Dane. So it ultimately it's his opinion. But like there was a story that you linked back to 2014 where members of the Wetzel family were like, yeah, this logo should go. So this is before, you know, everything that happens in 2020 and ultimately the renaming. But ultimately, the NFL is not going to allow that. The team, I don't think, wants to do that. So at the end of the day, if Ryan Wetzel and Steve Daines are working together on this, like, I don't have a less crude way to ask this, Sam, but like, who's driving the bus here? Is it Daines for political reasons? And is Ryan, like, again, I'm sorry to do this to Ryan Wetzel, but like, is he essentially being used as a political pawn here? Or is Ryan Wetzel coming at this from a really genuine place and Steve Daines is trying genuinely to make sure that this family, which ultimately is his constituent and his constituents, is getting what they want?
I think you are asking the questions that a lot of people have a lot of opinions on who are in this situation trying to resolve the issue. To me, I thought it was very revealing that the senator from Montana in May, when he said, I will block this bill to help my constituents in Montana because they are not being heard, sit down with the Wetzels and figure something out. Literally, as the commander or as the Wetzels were sitting in their suite when the commanders flew them in, the senator, Fox News had a report that the senator had sat down with the members of a different family, Two Guns White Calf family, who, you know, his likeness is the logo. The Wetzels designed the logo. The Two Guns White Calf was the inspiration for the logo. And Daines is apparently now meeting with them and saying they want to see this at the table. So I will let you interpret those events how you will.
Okay, so that leaves one more question for me in the form of cynical reporter slash talk show host here for Sam Fortier, Commanders beat reporter for The Washington Post, which is to say, or to ask Sam, Josh Harris says this is the last straw. This also is a presidential election year and a huge election year for Senate seats and House seats and everything across the board. If they're willing to go back to the table, because I could see Harris saying that as a way to say, like, hey, dude, if you're doing this to mess around and score political points, like, this is actually it. Don't play these games. And it's all negotiating. So if all of a sudden, Sam, this is being discussed next year, that Josh Harris decides it's worth taking one more swing, how different are the circumstances not in an election year? Because I have, in talking to folks, I think including you, who have covered this, like the dynamics do tend to change when the country's going through what it's going through right now with November coming around the corner.
I mean, it is it makes a massive difference because, you know, if Republicans win, that means one thing. If Democrats win, that means another. If it's split, it means another. Like, I am not a political analyst, but I can tell you that, like, there are many experts who see both of these things in different ways. And, like, it makes a massive difference that that's what's happening in the backdrop of them trying to get the bill passed this year.
And then I guess the other part that I'll just tack on before we switch to the football is that then leaves open this window post-election potentially for something to happen in the lame duck period before the end of season, or before the end of the Congress. So I guess everyone just hold your breath and hope that everybody can get on the same page if you want RFK. Sam Fortier is with us.
Yeah, there's...
Go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say there's going to be 30-ish days in that lame duck session between the beginning of November and the end of December, and it's very likely that, you know, whether the Commanders can, it's somewhat likely that the Commanders, whether they go back, they can go back to RFK, is going to be decided in that period.
Bring on an omnibus bill, baby. Who doesn't love an omnibus bill? Get that thing all pork barreled up. All right, the Commanders defense, there's no transition here. We're just going to go straight to it because you also wrote about this this week. This is our live, Sam. It is what it is. Sam Fortier, The Washington Post, with us. When you look at the issues that they've had, how many of them are concerning? And I ask it that way because some things are predictable, perhaps, and you go, that might just be a reality, versus others that you're like, whoa, didn't expect that to happen. How many of them are concerning to you? And as you do the reporting on them, how many are concerning to the folks inside the building?
That's a good question. I would say predictable, like, I think everyone understood that this outside corner group was among the weakest in the league, that it was going to be a weakness that teams would exploit as they have, you know, really going after the perimeter in the first two games. The missed tackles, I think, is more like, hey, it's early in the season. They didn't play a ton of reps in the preseason. I think that like gets better. But I think that there's an overlap there in that Venn diagram, right? Like when Michael Davis is like just getting blown by Malik Nabers, you think to yourself, okay, did Adam Peters build a defense good enough for this team to compete? And I think that like this all circles back to the most important point of this year, which is Jaden Daniels' development, because if they're going to trail in every game, if they're going to have to be chasing points all the time and they're going to have to pass a lot and other teams are able to pass rush against Jaden and kind of tee off on them, like that affects his development. And so no one expected this defense to be good. They don't spend a ton of money on it. They don't have a lot of blue chip players on it. But can they be good enough to like help Jaden along? I think that's my big question right now.
When you look at the problems they're facing, like how many of them do you think they can actually solve? Like there's schematic things they could do. They can keep tweaking personnel, both in bringing in new guys. They can change who's on the field in certain situations. Like if you had to isolate one thing that you're like, I think this is where they should start to try to fix this problem. What's the thing that you're attacking first if you're Dan Quinn and Joe Witt?
That's a great question. And I think they know better than I do, but you have to figure out like, what is our best rotation of corners? And if like, you have to figure out, is there a better guy? I know they just signed, you know, a depth player, Kevon Seymour yesterday, but like, that's not a guy who's going to change the context of this room. I think the free agent market is relatively weak, but like, is there a better option out there than Noah, and Michael Davis, or can you bring up Anusium like from the practice squad? Like, I know that if those guys aren't playing, it means they haven't beat out those veterans already, but I just think that the outside corner play, you have to figure out how can our coverage be better? Because right now, I think it's hurting the pass rush how quickly, you know, teams are able to throw the ball, get it to playmakers, and have those playmakers, you know, avoid tackles.
A lot of the ire from the fan base is obviously headed towards Allen and Payne because of the fact that they're known names, known commodities, making a lot of money. They're supposed to be the stars. But, you know, if we talk about like who's driving the bus here, do you think the coverage is driving the issues up front? Or is there anything as you look at like the data and watch the tape that you see up front that you think is driving some of the issues in coverage?
Yeah, so this is a good question. And I have been meaning to go back and look at like what percentage of passes when they're pass rushing has the ball come out in faster than 2.5 seconds? Because I do think that's when I'm watching the tape, anecdotally, that seems like to be a factor. And I would say that, you know, I went back and watched the tape and they're getting doubled and chipped. I know my colleague Nikki also looked into this, but they're getting doubled and chipped a fair amount. To me, like, it hasn't been egregious. Like, I've seen people, you know, questioning the effort and saying that, like, you know, those guys got the money and then like started laying back. I don't see that on the tape, at least for now. I think it's been a little more circumstantial, but obviously if you're paying those two guys what you're paying, you really want them to have more than a combined six tackles and two quarterback hits.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of where I've landed this week is like, I've got some ideas of what potentially they can do. I'm sure they have ideas. And by the way, I love when you were like, I think they know better than me. Well, Sam, we tried them and they didn't pick up the phone. Like, hey, do you want to tell us all your defensive secrets? And, you know, it's apparently a hard booking. But I, at the end of the day, the easy thing to say at this point in the calendar is if they're making that much money schematically and what the coaches are doing and what they're doing, it's fair to say that they've got to do more than what they're doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think to go back to the point of roster construction, and again, I want to point out that it's been two games at the beginning of a rebuild and a new system. Like, I give them time and relatively the benefit of the doubt right now, but even though it's been a really, I think, brutal first two games. But, you know, do they have the guys on the edge? Is Dorrance Armstrong going to be a guy that, even if he's not taking sacks, like, I just see Duran and John getting doubled, getting chipped, like, quite a bit. And if you're Dorrance Armstrong and you got that deal, like, you at least have to make teams feel you a little more, you know, like you have to have them devote resources to you. Because right now I'm not seeing that as much.
Yeah, that is one of the things I'm not going to give you homework because I don't have that power over you, Sam 48, but I will give you something that if you want to look up, I think it would be interesting because you have access to this kind of data. I would love to see the numbers rush yards or like yards per rush against single high versus two high structures, because that is something that they're going to have to do a lot more of, is play a lot of two high stuff because they can't afford to leave guys one-on-one on the outside. And if they're going to do that, then they need, with light boxes, to be able to stop the run, which in many ways is the key to modern NFL defense. This whole like Vic Fangio theory of the case is that we can still stop the run with light boxes and dedicate the resource to coverage. And I'd be fascinated to see what the splits are there, because I do think that was a huge problem for them on Sunday. Like once they kind of got out of some of those single high structures because they realized Malik Nabers was murdering them, that they no longer had the bodies they needed to stop the run. And that's a huge issue.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, I think that's the story right now of modern NFL defense, right? Like you're seeing passing go down across the league. I think it's a little more nuanced than simply they just play more too high, but I think that's a really big part of it. And the Commanders are no exception. Like, as you said, they have to stop the run at a too high looks if they're going to play that way. And you're going to need to play that way to prevent explosive plays if you're going to have this, you know, this corner group. And so, you know, I think that's a huge test for Joe Witt in the first quarter, 4 or 5 games of the season, is like, can he figure out a way to do that? Because look, man, like basically the Giants, and like the competition's not getting easier, you know? It's going to be Joe Burrow and the Bengals and Kyler and the Cardinals. And I know Cleveland's got some problems to figure out, but then it's Baltimore. Like, this is not going to be an easy road to say, hey, yeah, we got to limit some explosive plays.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The receivers. I remember when the schedule came out, I was like, oh, we're going to find about these corners real quick. So far, not liking what we're finding, but plenty of games left on the schedule. Sam 48 covering the football and all the other stuff going on, which thank God there's far less other stuff than there used to be, but the stadium, Sam's been all over it. For the Washington Post, you can read it at WashingtonPost.com/sports. And then you can watch him on TikTok, and you never know who's going to show up in his TikToks.
My show, unlike your show, apparently, has no problem booking high-profile A-list guests.
Well, it's easier, Sam, when you don't ask them and you just put them in the content. Also, thanks for the compliment of saying I'm an A-list guest. That means a lot. I know that was the point of that statement.
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, you know, you're a Syracuse grad. We're all Syracuse grads here. I'm happy to pump your ego as well.
Thanks, buddy. Someone's got to. Sam 48, everybody. Thank you, sir. And enjoy Cincinnati.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Sam 48 with us here on The Hoffman Show. Again, WashingtonPost.com/sports. You can also search him on TikTok, on Instagram, and check out all the cool digital video stuff that Sam is doing for the Post there. Yeah, the defense thing is going to be fascinating, and we've talked about that quite a bit today, and we'll continue to talk about it. But the RFK thing is so frustrating because there's, as you read Sam's story, and the goalpost moves, you're just like, really? That's what we're doing now? Oh, you want, so here late in the game, you want to make it a little bit harder? And I think that's something that, you know, any fan or anybody that cares about the story can look at. And we all, I think, are skeptical of politicians. It's something that, like, if you're into talking politics, it's something that any good political messenger will tell you is like, saying, oh, that guy's a wishy-washy politician is an attack on an opponent doesn't actually really move the needle that much, because everyone just assumes that all the politicians are, you know, not on the level. It's kind of built in. And then to see it happening to something that you care about is a reminder of, one, why we vote for is important. And also, like, The one political issue I will tackle on this show head on is DC statehood. And to know that we don't have a representative in the room to talk about this and to fight back against Steve Daines, no matter what the party is, no matter what party he is, like, that's kind of the point. And I don't understand how some people don't see that. I understand why it hasn't been voted on because, again, politics for people in other places. But it is kind of the reality that here's this Senate committee deciding something for D.C. and there's no one from D.C. in the room. And now this politician from Montana can just move the goalposts and we're stuck dealing with the consequences. So that's not great. Great reporting from Sam, though, in the Post if you want to read more about it. And feel your skin crawl as you see the quotes from Steve Daines and being a politician in real time. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, Competition Wednesday, we got three games to pick. And Anthony has to spin the wheel again because he did a bad job picking last week. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980, which is probably a good place to get to if you can, because you're about to watch Anthony spin a wheel, because there are consequences to be suffered, because ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, even though the team is delayed a day this week, it is Competition Wednesday. We go head-to-head every single week on Wednesdays, typically at 5:30. 48 was great, but backed us up just a second here. So we're here at 5:45 with our three picks, our results from last week. And depending on what it is, Anthony, you might have to do some push-ups or something. You might have to just serve a punishment right now.
I think I am geared to do whatever punishment I must do right now. So if it requires me to do 100 push-ups, more than I'll get those done before we even come back.
Okay, great. The other ones are going to have to wait. By the way, Anthony still owes me lunch from last week, so
I do.
Certainly haven't forgotten that. Probably should have done that today because we had a meeting and such, but we actually both brought our lunch like responsible people. So there's that. So we'll figure out lunch. But Anthony, last week, let's go over the picks. I had the Raiders plus 9.5. They won outright. I had the Bears. I thought it was plus 6.5. It was plus 6. So they lost by 6, right? If I'm remembering correctly. Sunday Night Football. That wound up being a, yes, 19-13. 6-point game. So that's a push. And then Seattle, New England, plus 3.5. Seahawks won on a field goal in overtime. That's a cover for the Patriots. So I was 2-0-1 after being 2-1 the previous week. Actually, no, I was 3-0 the previous. No, I was 2-1 because Green Bay pooped the bet on in the Friday night opener. So I'm 2-1 the first week. I'm 2-0-1 the second week. You were 0-3 in week one.
I was 0-3 in week one.
How did week two go?
Baltimore.
You were on the other end of that.
Yep.
Yep. You had Ravens plus 9.5.
-9.5.
They lost outright.
Yep. I also took the Colts -3.5.
They lost.
They lost as well. Got 250 rushing yards put up on them.
Yeah.
And then the Steelers, I took -3.
So you got that one, right? Didn't you?
What was the final score for that game?
The final score in that game was...
Or was it a push?
It was 13-6.
Okay,
Steelers.
I won.
So you went 1-2.
I went 1-2.
Which is good because you're on the board.
It's better than 0-3, Craig.
But bad because, well, you know, I was better, which means Competition Wednesday, the competition... you lost, Anthony. So why don't you did the art project. You got that big giant wheel behind you. And Anthony, if you want to hold that up, I will narrate here for the radio audience. It's quite the art project that Anthony has embarked on here. So we have 100 push-ups. We have a costume show, which again, very, very small costume. We'll buy the actual costume. It's just going to be like the little silly mustache glasses with the big nose that someone's going to have to wear throughout an entire show. Hot wings. I don't know why you put extra hot wings. It's just going to be regular hot wings. That's kind of the point. Is they're not extra hot. They're just hot. Like mango habanero. level hot if you're a B-dubs aficionado. Lunch, winner or loser buys winner lunch. What else is on there? Oh, the fantasy sub, where I would be able to go into Anthony's fantasy lineup and sit anybody that I want in favor of someone else. And then I think that's all of them. Oh, an ice bath. You have to do an ice. What were we saying? 3 minutes in an ice bath?
Yes.
All right, 3 minutes in the ice bath. Anthony, spin. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait for it. Spin that wheel. That was a terrible spin. It's still going, though. It spins better than I thought. And, oh, no, for Anthony. Give me your fantasy football lineup, bro. I get to do a fantasy sub for Anthony. We'll see how much damage I want to do to his lineup this week. I mean, we'll see what options exist. Anthony is 2-0 in the fantasy league. That's going better than Competition Wednesday. But I get to make a sub. Again, not a trade, nothing. I just get to take whoever his starter is, and I get to take one sub. So I need you to set your lineup so that I can unset it by one.
Ah, that hurt. Who do I play this week, too? What if I played you?
That'd make it even better for me. I do not believe that is the case, though.
No, it is not. Fantasy, okay. And then we got boom, bada boom. Okay, so I play Doug's Dimodomes. Is this Doug in Richmond?
Yeah, I think that's Doug in Richmond. Yeah, you play Doug in Richmond.
Oh, he's 2-0.
Oh.
And he scored more points than me this season.
Yee.
Yeah, this is a big week. Craig, whatever you do, help me.
Why would I? That kind of defeats the point of the bit, Anthony.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to set my lineup.
Yeah, all right. So you focus on setting your lineup. And while you do that, we got to make the picks for this week. And I'm not going to lie. I don't love the slate this week for making picks.
I don't either.
I really do not like the slate this week for making picks. I do not feel good. Like, the last couple weeks, there's been a bunch of underdogs that I'm like, yeah, I feel pretty good about this. I really do not feel good about this. I'm going to take two favorites this week, which is not the strategy that I would like to employ. Kevin Sheehan is going to be furious. Honestly, one of the teams I thought about taking was the Commanders. But that's too much stress on a Monday night to go Commanders +7.5. If I was going to bet that game, that's probably the direction I would go. But, alas, let's do it, Anthony. See if you can get some good picks on the board. And then I will look at your fantasy lineup in the commercial break.
Set.
Okay, excellent. Here we go. You want first dibs?
Now you got it.
All right. It's like golf. I scored better on the previous hole, so I get to go first.
Pretty much.
The first game I'm going to look at, well, I guess I should go chronologically, is tomorrow night. The Patriots have been good to me so far this year. Week one, New England +8.5. Week two, New England +3.5. That's a good sound. I mean, it's a check mark. New England +6.5 against the Jets. I don't think the Jets are that potent offensively. So, why? No thanks. Also, why did this line change? It was 6.5 5 seconds ago. Now it's -6. That sucks. Cost myself a half a point. But this is we're going with what's in front of me. Unless you find unless the line you're looking at is 6.5.
You said for the Patriots, right?
Patriots, Jets.
Oh, there it is. It's -6 over here.
Okay, I got it -6 too. That sucks. I should have taken a screenshot or something. But okay, I'll still take it. New England +6 against the Jets.
Okay, you're taking New England +6 against the Jets.
Yep.
I like it. A team that I've been high on, and I'm super proud of this guy, Justin Field, for leading. Is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You're just going back to the well, the one win you have.
Hey, I have to, man. I have to. They are set to play the Los Angeles Chargers. The line is 1.5. I'm going to take the Steelers to win this game. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I don't have Los Angeles running all over this Pittsburgh defense right here. Justin's going to have to do something. I'm going with the Steelers, baby.
I'm going to laugh when Pittsburgh... you have -1.5, right?
Well, yeah, what line do you have?
I have -1.5 as well.
Okay.
Okay, I thought you said -1 in a second. I was like, that's...
You know, no.
Yeah, no, we got to get the half point here. I'm going to laugh when Pittsburgh wins this game by one and you don't cover.
That would hurt.
That would hurt a lot. It's kind of one of those, though, at -1.5. If you like them in the game, just take them.
Yep.
And I looked at this game hard. I thought about trying to get cute with the Chargers and just buy myself that extra point.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, on the road, I don't know. I do think they're going to – I mean, this is going to be a knockout, drag-out game. This game could also be over in 2.5 hours.
Yep.
A lot of running. Not around the football, though. Okay, so you got Pittsburgh -1.5.
Yep.
My second game, I'm gonna hope that a team that I like a lot, or a team that I thought I liked a lot, is now in a bad way, just gets absolutely dump-trucked on the road by a team that I keep saying I think they're really talented, but it's a team that had a pulse on last week. Got New England to cover last week against Seattle. Seattle back home this week hosting the Dolphins. It's -4. No Tua. Dolphins look sideways. Seahawks probably a little agitated with how they played last week. I think Seattle can put up some points here. I'm going to go Seattle. I hate taking a big favorite, but I'm gonna do it. Seattle -4. I'm doing it.
That one sounds juicy, man. It definitely does. You had me tempted to go with you, but I don't think I'm going to do it. I like Miami's defense. I think Jalen Ramsey, DK, is going to have a good back and forth. I'm going to turn my attention to... Hold on. Where they go?
That's why I write mine down, Anthony. Like a professional, damn it.
Oh, I should have wrote it down. Oh, it was Buffalo. Buffalo -5 over Jacksonville. They were all the way at the bottom, my bad. Again, I'm just not a firm believer in Trevor Lawrence. I think what Buffalo's defense has up there is going to cause them some problems. I'm taking them outright to go out there, make a statement.
You realize that the -5 means they have to win by at least 5 points, right?
Yes.
When you say you're taking them outright, like, no, you're taking them +5.
The Bills?
Yes.
-5.
-5, yes. You're taking the Bills -5, a.k.a. Yes. They have to win by at least 6.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm taking the Bills.
Yes. Okay. I thought about them, actually, because if I was going to bet a side in this game, I'd probably bet Buffalo. But, you know, they've been a team that's a little bit up and down. Jags, I just like, are they really this bad? Are they really going to start 0-3? They might be. This game, by the way, you'll hear on the Team 980 on Monday night. If you are driving around, obviously the Commanders will be playing later in the evening. It's the ESPN ABC doubleheader. The Commanders do have the Joe Buck, like, typical Monday night team. But, yeah, Jags, I like that. I like Bills -5 if I was going to pick a side there. I am not going to go to Monday Night Football to wrap up. I'm going to go to Sunday Night Football. The Falcons are one of the most interesting teams in the league.
They are.
But they are coming off a short week. Hosting the world champs. I'm going to take Kansas City -3.5. I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about anything else on this stupid screen in front of me. I thought about like going off the board and taking like a WNBA game tomorrow night or something. But I decided to stick with the NFL. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Mahomes indoors. Can they get some of their speed guys going? Their defense is really nasty. Fingers crossed. I don't have great analysis for you there. I'm picking the Chiefs -3.5, and hopefully I wake up Monday morning and they've won by at least 4.
Keep that hope alive, Craig, and make sure you pray, man. My last pick, I'm going to go with the Houston Texans to go into Minnesota and take over their trap. Houston -2 over the Vikings. I think JJ's banged up. I think they
he
said
is, but he's playing.
He's on track to play, but I still think, ooh, them Texans gonna get after them Vikings, man. I'm going CJ and the boys.
I'm a little Houston, scared the Vikings are good.
-2.
I thought about this game, but I'm a little scared the Vikings are good.
Are they 3? No, are they 1-1 right now?
They're 2-0.
Are they 3-0 good though?
Flores has got that defense cooking a little bit.
Are they 3-0 good?
I don't know. It's a team that Sam Darnold quarterbacked. Allowed to be that good, but I don't think the Houston's come out quite as gangbusters as some people thought either. So that team scared me. That's why, like, the Chiefs are the most sure thing I can think of. So that's why I went with them. But we'll see.
This is interesting, man.
We'll see. It's Competition Wednesday. We'll see how the competition ended up next week when we get to the results on Wednesday. But in the meantime, I'm going to go look at Anthony's fantasy lineup and see who I want to take out of his lineup. And then I'm going to wait for him to buy me lunch because he started 0-2. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, this week's, as we said, a little bit funky in terms of the schedule because typically we would be doing a pick six. Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels would have talked today, but because they're on Monday Night Football, they don't speak till tomorrow. So we bumped our NFL tiers from yesterday to today. So we rank the entire league next. And boy, is this going to be fun to take the Cowboys out of the top tier. That's next on the Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.